Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to begin a new series of studies, which we are going to entitle The Abundant Life. What we are and who we are. The Lord Jesus Christ says in John chapter 10 and verse 10, I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Christ gives the abundant life. Now, we will be examining these different titles under the positional aspect and then under the functional aspect. Positionally, we are believers, saints, members, brethren, servants, friends, disciples, Christians, and sons. Functionally, we are exactly the same. As believers, we have a function. As saints, we have a function, and so forth. So we're going to be talking about who we are and what we are. Now, the abundant life begins with faith, and that's why we have entitled the first study as believers. The faith joins us to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of the question that the Philippian jailer asked the Apostle Paul the night that God led him to Christ, and we're going to read the scriptures. If you have your Bibles near at hand, you may wish to follow us in the 16th chapter of the Acts epistle, or the Paul's the writing, not Paul's, the Spirit of God's writing. Actually, it's Theophilus. It was written to Theophilus by our dear brother Luke. Luke was the author of this epistle. Now, let's read in Acts chapter 16. Well, I should quote my scripture first. The Philippian jailer asked what he might do to be saved, and Paul tells him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Everything starts from here. We start as believers. We end up as sons. And there's progress. There's a logical progress all the way through the series of studies. Now, let's read in Acts chapter 16, if you please, and think of what the Lord has in mind for us to study. And we read the beginning of verse 25. Remember, they're at Philippi. They're persecuted. The Jews people who had the business, they were assisted by a lady, a young woman, who had the powers of necromancy, shall I call it that? And they got rich by her. She seemed to have this strange power. And Paul and Silas rebuked the efforts of this girl to tell her masters, and they were angry. As a consequence, Paul and Silas were put into prison. Verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. And that was Roman law. If you let a prisoner loose, you had to take his punishment. Paul cried out with a loud voice when this man drew out his sword and was going to kill himself. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord. Notice, please, his salvation was based on the word of the Lord. Paul spoke to them, and he told him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then he read the word, telling the Philippian jailer why he needed to be saved. He was a sinner. And sin will separate us from God. Sin will keep us out of heaven. And he taught the scriptures to this man. And later to his family. And the family was listening all the time that Paul was giving this address to the Philippian jailer, telling him why he must be saved. We're sinners, but God loved us and wanted to take us into his heaven. And he indeed sent the Lord Jesus Christ into this world to die on the cross for our sins. Oh, what love. This baffles the human mind that God would love us to that extent. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Think of that, if you will, please. The love of God. This was news to this Philippian jailer. But oh, to think that such a wonderful person as the Lord Jesus Christ would do that for him. Just think of it, if you will. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And he knew why he was believing. Christ was his Savior. He was the one that loved him and died for him. Well, the man committed himself to the Lord. We'll read on, verse 33. And he took them the same night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Now do you see why we are beginning this series of meetings of who we are, this series of studies of who we are and what we are with believers? The eternal life begins with believing. And the Lord Jesus is telling us, if you please, I am come that they might, those that believe on him, might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Oh, think, if you will, please, what it means to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. This Philippian jailer had an abounding joy, and his family heard it. Oh, what a love story. I wonder, does it touch our hearts that God loved us to the extent he gave his Son to die on the cross for our sins? God must punish sin. He can't overlook it. But he punished his Son for you and for me. Think of it, if you will, please. And if you think of it long enough, you'll have the experience of the Philippian jailer. He believed it, and his house believed it. It was the best news that they ever heard. And the word gospel is indeed, literally, glad tidings, good news. And what good news it is to know that the debt of sin has been paid by our Lord Jesus Christ for you and for me. Now that faith places us in the company of other believers. We read in Acts chapter 4, verse 32, and this is in the early days of the church. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. There was a multitude of believers, pardon me, those that believed. They were of one heart and one soul. They had been knit together in the bond of life, eternal life in Christ. And oh, they had mutual desires, mutual joys, mutual faith, mutual everything was mutual. Neither said any of them that the things that they had belonged to their own. They had all things in common. And you know, we have all things in common with our fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is to have that group around us. And think, too, Peter says in his second epistle, chapter 1 and verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God. He didn't set aside his righteousness when he saved us. He multiplied it. He displayed it. God must punish sin, but he punished his Son. Oh, how wonderful. And then we read in Acts 5 and 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. Now here they're called believers. This is who they are. We had the functional already. They were believers because they exercised faith. That's functional. They believed. and they were saved. And God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Did he die for you? Thank God he died for me and wiped out that debt of sin. Now we read in Matthew chapter 16 about the church. Now that's the relationship that these people found themselves in. Now Paul had not written his extensive treaty on the church, and Paul is the writer to the church. He had not done it yet. But they had that common bound that you find in the church of God. And we read in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13, and when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say, thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, some others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, that is the truth of the matter. Now we are in Christ's church. They didn't realize it. They realized that they had something in common with every other believer. They had the peace, the joy, the satisfaction, and the supreme assurance of the Holy Spirit that they knew the Lord and were going to heaven. Now, our fellowship with other believers is a replica constituting a local church. Everyone that is saved belongs to the universal church. But there is the matter of being in fellowship with believers in a local church. And such a relationship is a blessed place where spiritual growth and fellowship and worship is realized. For instance, we read in 1 Timothy 4:12, where Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity or love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Oh, how vast it is, how it comprehends. This is the abundant life, over and above what we get out of this first life. Oh, I know it has its natural joys, but this is better. This is spiritual, and it's eternal. Our lives on earth are going to end. But here is something that is of abundant life, and we want to talk about this series in the broadcasts to come, and I think they will begin to unfold and show us what we have in Christ Jesus. Father, bless these studies, we pray, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks. Amen.